to go to my message to you today. And my scripture reading is in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and I want to start at the 21st verse. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman came from that region, came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on the remainder of this service and on my message, each thing that's said and each thought that is expressed. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help it to help each one of us as you would have and be understood by us as that which you have for us. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. The title of my message today is Family Faith. You know, we speak a lot about faith and about love and about compassion and care. And all of that is important. All of that is taught as being very important in God's Word. And that all of those things comes from God to us as we have faith in Him. We're talking this morning, want to turn your attention and your thoughts to family faith. And exactly those important, those things that make that important. You know, we have personal faith, a faith that comes to us from hearing the Word of God, that comes to us from praying to God and our supplications to Him, more of a direct way, more of a personal way. But there's also a power that is even, I think, beyond that. And that is a power that comes to you through your family faith. And I'm particularly talking about your personal family, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, extended family. But I'm also talking about a family faith that can be prevalent from a church standpoint, from a family of brothers and sisters within the church. And also the family faith of our Almighty Creator God and the family that He has invited us into as we have faith in His master plan and have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who shed His very blood for our sins, for our shortcomings, so that the penalty for sins would be met as we call upon Him, Yeshua and Yahweh, for forgiveness of these sins. So we have a family faith in the church. We have a family faith in God's family, our spiritual family, our heavenly family. And then we have our own individual families. And family faith should be looked on as even a deeper faith, even a greater faith. One, perhaps, which will cause to come about much good, much revelation, much answer to prayers. My text was verse 28 in Matthew 15, and that says, "Then Jesus said to her, 'O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed at once." Wouldn't that be wonderful if all of the times that we feel like that we are coming way short and having our prayers addressed and feeling like we're hearing an answer from Almighty God of that which is dealing on our hearts and in our minds, that we can feel, and even further, that we know that our prayers have been addressed, that our prayers have been heard, and that our prayers have been answered. That is assurance that each one of us can say unequivocally that we just praise the Lord, and we thank Him so much that He has that love and concern for us. Family faith. Family faith in Christ saves the sinner. Family faith accomplishes much, but right at the top of the list would be that faith that saves the soul or the sinner. Faith brings answer to prayers. Faith drives away anxiety and fears. And it's all too common that we have situations in which fears and anxieties seem to predominate and seem to have way too much control in our lives. And last, faith pleases God. We know that faith not only drives away anxiety, but it also drives away fear. One of the things among many that is some of the greatest of ways that faith, our particular faith, individual faith, and personal faith is tested, is that when one of our loved ones, when one within our personal family, maybe even including ourselves, when one of our family is afflicted with many and varied diseases and afflictions, family crisis can be said to, for sure, drive us to our knees. And it can, for sure, test us to the breaking point. I'd like to go to Matthew 18 and 20. And let's look at that. "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." What a great assurance that is. It don't take a humongous amount of people. And if we look within our family and we think of the unity, the harmony that we have within our families, and we know that we bring our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, we bring them up to know about God, to trust in Him, and to know that He is the greater of healers. And He answers our prayers. So we know that as we have needs, particularly within our family, that we have more than one that is often united in a specific prayer, a specific request, that we have unity and harmony within the family as we petition God for those things that come to us. Let's look at Matthew 9 and 35. And remember, we're speaking of a family faith, a faith that's not just for us only, but that is a unity, a faith in unity. Jesus was going through the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." The Heavenly Father wants us to know that there are many needs out around us at all times, within and without the family, within and without the church people, within and without the ones that part of God's family, our great spiritual family. But needs arise constantly within all of those areas of unity. And we need to know that God always has the answer, that He always will provide. And this particular time of the year, more than any other time of the year, we can say that this is God's time for provision. This is the time that He hears the cries, just like He did the children of Israel in the slavery in Egypt. It's time for deliverance. It's time for prayers to be answered and to call upon the Lord for those answers. The dilemma of the mother that we're speaking of here, and of course, the title of the message, Family Faith, we have a mother that was in a terrific dilemma. And the dilemma is that her daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. And the mother realized that, as in any mother would of their children, and anything that is not quite right with their children. And when you look at the book of Mark, in this account, Mark says that this was an unclean spirit. The daughter, perhaps controlled by unclean thoughts, probably suffered times of profane rage, out of control, anger. But this mother was a gentle mother who realized the power of God, and she realized the power of Yeshua, who was there before her, who she was calling upon in this particular instant. And this gentle mother, this humble mother, had a mother's prayer. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David." This was a deeper understanding of Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, than perhaps many of the followers around her, her and him, Yeshua. And perhaps even a deeper understanding by her, perhaps of even of his own personal disciples. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She sensed something unusual. Perhaps she has heard some of Yeshua's teaching. And she sensed the compassion that he had for the ones following him. Perhaps she sensed not only the compassion, but the love that he had. And she not only realized those, but she realized that there was a certain power that he had. And she believed that he could deliver her daughter that had this terrific problem, that had this depressing problem. But what's unusual about this particular instance is that it seemed as if the Lord did not hear her, did not respond immediately to her request. But there was a reason for his delay. And oftentimes when we go to the Lord and we don't receive our answers to our prayers just as quick as we think they ought to be answered, no doubt there is a reason for the delay. There's a reason why our prayers seem to not be getting anywhere sometimes. This was a faith that was under fire. She cried out for help, and the Lord was silent. She came to believe that he was her only hope, and he wasn't answering. And we might ask ourselves that question in this regard. Has God seemed silent when you prayed for him recently? Do you seem to say your prayers and your prayers don't really seem like they go much more than just out your mouth? And you can't feel the touch of God's hand. You can't feel that your prayers are actually getting to the loving Father God. Let's look at Ephesians 6 and 13. Ephesians 6 and 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Or some, I think the King James Version might say, having done everything, to stand, just stand. And the qualifier there, one of those, is that you've done everything you know to do within a spiritual realm and from a spiritual standpoint. You've called upon God. You're asking him for help. It don't seem like nothing is getting off of the ground. So the Word of God tells us in these scriptures, when we've done everything to stand and we're still not receiving what we think we need, then just keep on standing. Just keep on praying. Just keep on calling on God and just keep on believing that your prayers are going to be answered in God's time and in God's way. When you've done all to stand, just keep standing. And this desperate woman kept on crying for help. And how did the disciples react when you read these scriptures? They acted with somewhat disgust. Can you believe that? Well, they were natural human beings. Some of them were just poor fishermen following Yeshua. Loved the Word of God. And loved being around Yeshua and following Him. And seeing the good deeds that He was able to do. But their reaction was to this woman crying out for help for her demon-possessed daughter, that she realized most likely very quickly that she couldn't do a thing about. She had no power to help her daughter. So she called on the one that she came to know did have the power. She called on Yeshua. The disciples said, send her away. And this would be like at least many others. Even church people don't want to be bothered with someone else's problem. It's perhaps true that we may be bothered by those who have more faith than we do. And it bothers us when we see that and realize that to be true. We may be annoyed by those who are more persistent in their prayer and in their request to God. They don't give up. They keep on keeping on when prayers are not answered and when they still have problems in their lives. They keep calling. They keep praying. They don't give up. Why, reckon, did the disciples want to send this mother away? Well, they wanted to get back with Yeshua. They wanted to get back to listening to the good things that He has to teach everyone. They didn't want to be distracted or annoyed by someone else. They wanted to get back to listening. They didn't like the interruption. Sometimes our reactions are like that and misplaced when it regards to trying to help others that have problems and others that are in need. We shouldn't act. We shouldn't react with an action that lets someone know that we're annoyed by having to be bothered with whatever their request is. But we should take it just like the Father God when He hears. The Father God cares and He loves and He's never too busy. His ears are never stopped. He doesn't have to sleep. He doesn't have to get rested in order to hear our cries to Him. Let's examine the woman's faith. This woman was a Canaanite. And what that tells us? Number one, she was a Gentile. She was one, according to the way most of the Jews looked upon most of the Gentiles, was pretty bad. They did not give them a lot of respect. They looked upon them very badly, with disrespect. So she was a Gentile, a woman of Canaan. But she recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And she called Him Lord. She believed Jesus was more powerful than the devil. She was able to see beyond seeming rejection, because it did seem like everybody was more or less wanting to get rid of her and get her away from them so they could get back to what they were doing. That's what it seemed like. But it was more than what it seemed. Yeshua said he was only sent to Israel. And even his words almost imply that anything other than Israel's or Jews was like dogs. People very much less important, less worthy than the Jewish people. But of course, that's not really how Yeshua looked at things. That's just how it was prevalent at that particular point in history. She was able to see beyond his seeming rejection. She responded to him, even in the regard of somewhat rejection of him. She responded by saying, keep on saying, Lord, help me. I need help here. I can't deal with this. I can't help my child. And she needs help with this problem. She understood Jesus perhaps better than even his disciples. And she took the humble place, saying that even the dogs eat the crumbs of their master's table. In regard to Gentiles being not as worthy to approach God and ask for help as the Jewish people were. Her faith in Christ demanded that she keep on praying. The scripture I read, when you've done all to stand, then stand. Keep on standing. Just stand. And you know the scriptures that it's the verses before it says there in regard to how we should approach God and in regard to praying and getting our prayers answered. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And all the other help that God has us, mainly reading His Word, studying His Word, knowing His Word, calling upon the promises as He makes to us, and letting Him know that we have that faith. We're going to keep on trusting Him for our needs. The Lord answered this troubled woman's prayer in His time and in His way. He saw her great faith and He commended her. Her daughter was released from the demon's power. And it's recorded that the miracle that the woman requested for her daughter, the miracle took place immediately. So we know that we have test perhaps even of fire within our families, within our walk of God. But as we hold on to Him, and as our faith grows within Him, and His Word lives within us and becomes more meaningful each and every day of our life, then our faith becomes stronger and stronger. And those fires that come against us, our faith is able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. So we need to say, trust God to answer our fervent, persistent prayers. And that's exactly what our prayers need to do. For our family and family members. For the ones that are facing horrible problems. For things that are out of control. For things that are way beyond our capacity to deal with. Then we have one that who is able to deal with these problems. And that is our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and Yahweh, our loving Heavenly Father. Psalms 34 and 4. Let's look at that, and we're closing pretty quickly. Psalms 34 and 4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. How many was not delivered? How many prayers was not answered? God answers the concerns of His family, of His children, His sons and daughters. He answers the prayers. He delivers from the fears that confront us. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 5. 2 Corinthians 7 and 5. For even when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. Who wrote those words? The Apostle Paul. Do you think if the Apostle Paul had concerns like this and problems like this, you think we're going to live our life without those same kind of concerns? The Apostle Paul was a strong Christian of God, servant of Yeshua. And I would say if he faced these kind of things, afflicted on every side, conflicts without, and fears within, as he went about to establish the early churches, and this one in Corinthians, then I would say we're going to have it too. Let's look at 1 John 4 and 18. 1 John 4 and 18. There is no fear in love. How much fear is there if you have perfect love? There is no fear in love, but perfect fear cast out. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. That's telling us we don't quite have enough love if we still got some fears. Am I saying you will ever get rid of all your fear? No. Not as long as you're in the flesh and blood and human being. But we can have more and more of the perfect love that God would have for us to have. And that's what we need to pray for, and we need to ask Him for, is more love and less fear. And ask that He puts fear out of our life and replace it with love. Perfect love. I would like for you to know a little bit more about the location of this woman, because that kind of thing always interests me. The very first verse says, Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And Tyre and Sidon are both cities that is around 150 miles or so north of Jerusalem. and they're both over on the edge of the Mediterranean Ocean. They are both seaports, and they're in a region of the area called Phoenicia, is in Tyre and Sidon, where this mother was that we have read about, in the coastal land north of the land of Israel. Right now, I'd like for us all to stand, and we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath and each one that's here, and we thank you for the message that you've given to us of this faithful mother who prayed for deliverance for her afflicted daughter. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that it's recorded that as Yeshua heard that prayer and it was his time to respond, that perfect healing came to this mother's daughter. And so this family was brought back together in harmony and in unity, and their prayers were heard and their prayers would answer. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us to have that faith and help us to be persistent in our prayers and in our request and in our faith to you for deliverance. And we thank you for your love and concern for us. And in Yeshua's name, we ask all these things, and amen. Let's read the blessing of the Lord this morning together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. And God bless everyone.